Take your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Tonight we're finishing up Hebrews chapter 5, and we've enjoyed this study. The Apostle Paul is the author of Hebrews. I've always had problems saying that until we started this study, and I've studied it out. And the early church fathers, every single one of them, attributed this book to the Apostle Paul. In fact, even if you have a Bible with titles in it, it's going to say here, and let me turn over here, it says the Epistle of Paul, the Apostle to the Hebrews. And so over and over again, we find that Paul wasn't. Now, why did I doubt that? Well, it has to do with Bible colleges and professors. And they'll plant sometimes seeds of doubt or a little bit of higher criticism in with you. I did not go to an independent Baptist college, so other people would say, well, they're not so sure. Maybe it was Timothy. Maybe it was this guy, or maybe it was that guy. But the early church fathers believed conclusively that it was the Apostle Paul. And no one would know better because they were within 100 years of his writing. And so the Apostle Paul writes this, and he's writing to the Jews, and particularly he's writing the book of Hebrews to the Jews of Palestine. Why there? Because that's the very spot where most of the Judaizers came from. And the Judaizers are the one who's given his work trouble over and over and over again. So he goes and establishes a church, but then others come from Israel or Palestine, and they say, I'm so glad you've trusted Christ as your Savior, but now you need to start living like a Jew so that you can really mature as a believer. And the Apostle Paul had to deal with that over and over again. In fact, if you're aware of what goes on in the New Testament, you're going to find in Acts chapter 15, that's when the church assembles together and makes a ruling on this, because there's a little dissension going on. There's an undercurrent in the churches, and they have to put it to a stop. And that's when they say in chapter 15 that the Gentiles come to faith in Christ the very same way that the Jews do. And they are all saved by God's grace through faith. Not because they're a Jew, not because they live like this or that. And it's been very interesting as we're going through Romans verse by verse and then the book of Hebrews, how they correlate each other and support each other. And it's such a joy to be able to see it in the book of Romans to the Christians there at Rome, and then to the Christians and sometimes Judaizers in Palestine. Same doctrinal truth. The book of Hebrews hits it from a different portion. It simply shows how Jesus is better than the Old Testament covenant, the New Testament covenant being better, the gospel being better. Everything's better under Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad we're not under works, but under grace? I don't know about you, but I feel so good about that. Because try as you might to be the best Christian you can, if you're honest with God and with yourself, you know you fail. But we understand that our acceptance with the Holy God has nothing to do with our performance. Has everything to do with our faith in the performance of Jesus Christ on Calvary and in His resurrection. Now in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through verse 15, we just have a few verses to look at tonight, but we have to ask ourselves the question, are we maturing? Are we maturing? Because that's the question that the Apostle Paul is asking of those Jewish believers in the book of Hebrews here. Are we maturing? Now, we're not asking, have we trusted Christ as our Savior? Well, we covered that this morning on justification in chapter 4. But here, in chapter 5 of Hebrews, he's asking the question, now that you've come to faith in Christ, are you maturing? Are you growing? Are you continuing to mature as a believer? I think all of us have to ask that question because it doesn't matter how long you've been saved, there's always that tendency to sort of plateau, isn't it? There's always that tendency that we get comfortable in our Christian life. Wherever we are, we get real comfortable. And the Spirit of God sometimes has to sort of light a fire under us to get us maturing, get us keep on going and growing in our faith and maturity as a Christian. Well, that's the question the Word of God has for all of us tonight. Are we maturing? Well, as that is the backdrop, let's go ahead and start reading verses, let me get to chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. I was looking at chapter 4. Chapter 5, the Bible says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them who that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer and we'll get right into the passage of Scripture. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to assemble together this Sunday evening. I thank you for the children getting to meet the first time in all these many months. What a blessing it is to see young lives that are hungry to hear what your word says, the Bible stories, singing your praises, and all the fun that they have in Little Bear Bible Club. Lord, I'm excited about Awana's being available this Wednesday and all the activity and Bible memorization and all that takes place there. Father, I pray that you'll speak once again to our hearts from your word. We're so grateful that the Holy Spirit of God indwells us as a believer and that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts while a man preaches God's word. Now, Lord, I know I'm not able in myself to be a blessing, but I do pray the Holy Spirit of God could use me to be a blessing, to be a help, perhaps a challenge to some here tonight and those who would view online. Heavenly Father, we want to be maturing Christians. We want to be next year more of what we should be than we are right now. I pray that even this year would be a year of personal growth as a Christian and as a church. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name, amen. So the question is asked by the Apostle Paul as he speaks to the audience that he addresses in Hebrews, are we maturing? Our text is to challenge each and every one of us. I don't know where you are, but God wants wherever you are to be where you used to be in just a little while. God wants progression. I love that hymn, Higher Ground. And that's what we always want to aspire to. We want to keep on growing. Keep on growing for the Lord. Be more and more and more what we ought to be for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've mentioned so many times as a 9-year-old boy having trusted Christ as my Savior. But while I was a teenager, I also helped in Sunday school. While I was a teenager, I also helped in midweek Bible classes. When I went off to Bible college, I started the first year teaching in a local church around the Bible college. You say, oh, you got to teach adults. No, I got to teach third graders. They probably knew I didn't have a lot of maturity, but I got to teach children. And then when Miss Vicki and I got married, we work with children. And I've been trying to serve all my life, and that's my goal. One of these days, somebody's going to will me into church, but I'm still going to find a way to serve the Lord. And we want to never stop maturing in our service for the Lord or our knowledge in the Lord. Here's several questions we're going to look at tonight. And the first one's found in verse 11. And the question is, how's your hearing? How's your hearing? The Bible says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. How's your hearing? You ever ask yourself, did I just hear that? I don't know, but as you get my age, your favorite word is, huh? What was that? What'd you say? Now, I won't ask you to raise your hand if you identify with that, because you really didn't hear the question I asked. So you'd just be raising your hand anyway. Let me just say, if I'm smiling at you and nodding my head, I'm probably thinking, I wonder what they're talking about. I don't have a clue, but I hear bits and pieces of something. I'm at that age where I hear more background noise than I hear primary noise. And I see many of our members having hearing aids and stuff like that. And one of these days you'll look at Pastor and he'll have this little bitty piece of, plastic coming down, or else these little, if I really can afford, I have those little bitty ones that just have a little something, but those are pretty spendy, I believe. I'll probably have the big kind with a big old pack in my pocket that, you know, I got at Radio Shack, but of course they're out of business, right? So I can't get it there. That dates you right there. How's your hearing? How do we hear? How do we hear the Spirit of God? Sometimes it's easy to hear each other, but are we hearing what God is saying to us? The author, the Apostle Paul, is writing to the Hebrews. He said, I have many things to say unto you. And he's especially talking about what he's just discussed in earlier here in chapter 4. He's talking about Melchizedek. He's talking about the priest of the Most High God and how that Jesus is similar and that he did not come through the Levitical system, and that Melchizedek was a priest forever and Jesus is the priest forever, the high priest forever. And so he says, I got so many more things I could tell you about that. But I can't, because you're dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Now, I don't think he was saying because you won't listen to man. I think he was saying because you're not listening to God. If we're not careful, we can come to church and find ourselves listening to man. And that's fine. God uses men. God uses women. God uses them to teach God's word. But the reality is we always have to have an open heart to what the Spirit of the Lord wants to say. You know, in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, we have the message to the seven churches. Those are the seven churches of Asia Minor. When Paul was in Ephesus for 3 years, the Bible says from there sounded out the word of God throughout all Asia. Now, as far as we know, he only visited that one city. But he taught people who taught people who taught people, and the gospel spread throughout Asia. There's seven different churches mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 that were churches that were established in Asia. And here's one thing that's in common for every one of them. It says, he that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, he could have easily have said, now, every one of you who have ears, listen to your pastor. But that's not what he said. Now, every one of them had a pastor. Every one of them had a teacher, had a preacher, had a pastor, had other people with maturity in those churches. But that wasn't the question. He just assumed they were listening to them. He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Every time we assemble, the Holy Spirit of God not only has a message for our church, He has a message for every one of us. Every single one of us. We have to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is trying to say. And I don't know about you, but the biggest problem we have, according to the Word of God, is we get dull of hearing. So how's your hearing? In John chapter 10, verse 27, the Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice." That's what Jesus told His disciples. He said, "I am the good shepherd." And He knows that we are the sheep. He is the shepherd. And Jesus said this about His followers, "My sheep hear my voice." Well, we have to have ears to hear in order to hear His voice. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Have you been getting into the Bible? I know every January we always get a start again. I just got into Exodus, I think chapter 17 or something this morning. I'm just trying to do maybe five, six, that's normal. I'm doing maybe eight chapters a day, something like that. It'll get me through twice if I keep following that pattern. Last year I read through eight times, but you know, you're COVID and you're home and you're isolated and you have more time on your hands when there's not much to do at church, when it's shut down. But let me say this. Whether you go through it once or whether you go through it 10 times, I think Miss Vicki went through 9 times. No matter how many times you go through it, do you have ears to hear? Ears to hear. I always read my Bible with a pen in my hand, and I always want to underline, and I want to put in notes. And you'll be surprised what the Spirit of God will teach you if you'll listen as you read God's Word. You'll see something new every time you read it. And that's true in my life, and I see that. How's your hearing? Let me say this. Your spiritual hearing is as good as your relationship to God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So your spiritual hearing has a direct correlation to your receptiveness to God's Word. If you're not careful, you'll go a day without it. If you're not careful, if you'll go a day, you'll go 2 days without it. And if you can go 2 days, you'll go a week without it. We cannot afford to get apart from God's Word. How is your spiritual hearing? We've got to ask ourselves that question. The second question we ask ourselves, according to verse 12, is, are we teaching? Are we teaching? Notice what it says here. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." The question is, are you teaching? Now, we're not saying, do you have a position of teacher in the local church? That's not what we're asking. So I'm not asking, are you a Sunday school teacher? Do you teach in children's church? Do you teach in adult class? Do you teach in the teenage department? Do you teach here or teach there? I'm not asking that question. That's a position of teacher. There is an office of being a teacher. But I'm asking, are you teaching? And the Bible gives us an example how every one of us ought to be a teacher. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, we find the pattern that God has for you and I as believers to teach others. And the Bible says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So let me illustrate that. Here's the Apostle Paul. He gets these truths by revelation. Now, you and I don't get truths like that. He gets these truths by revelation. And he says, the things that you have seen and heard among me before many men. So he gives that teaching to Timothy. And then Timothy, the Bible says, is to take what he's heard, what he's seen, what he's experienced from the Apostle Paul, and he is to turn around and invest that in faithful men. Faithful men. And then the Bible says, and those faithful men will receive that truth, and they in turn will teach others. Every once in a while, especially early on in their ministry, probably 20 years ago, it was very common for Baptists to go to a lot of conferences. Now, I go to a few. Well, last year, none. But, you know, I go to a few during the year. And it was a time where there were a lot more conferences going around, and you could go to local church conferences. Maybe five or six churches would gather together, and they'd have someone. Well, it just so happens that if you outlive all the other preachers, some will start asking you questions. When you get old enough, they think you know it all, and so they'll start asking you questions. And every once in a while, I would be at a conference or something, and someone would ask me a question about particular subjects and those type of things. One of the questions I got a lot from young preachers is, how do you keep from getting discouraged? How do you keep from getting discouraged? Now, let me just say, I have to really think about that, because for whatever reason, I don't think that way. I'm not a discouraged person. I'm always sort of upbeat. I try to live above the problems. How do you keep from being discouraged? And here's what I've learned through listening to great men of God of yesteryear who are now all in heaven. And I said, the Bible gives a pattern how you can always be encouraged in your ministry. And the pattern is, commit thou to faithful men. I said, my guess is you're spending all your time with the least faithful people in your whole church. You're running with a crowd who will look you in the eye and say, I'll be there Sunday, but never show up. And so you get discouraged. You're always listening to promises that never fulfill, because you're running with the wrong crowd. The Bible says to spend your time with faithful men who in turn will teach others. I've had so many young preachers call me back several months later and say, Pastor, that helped me tremendously. I started spending time with the most faithful men in our church. I'm excited. They're excited. Our men are growing. They're reaching more people for Christ. I'm reaching more people. If you want to stay encouraged, go with people who are close to the Lord, people who love the Lord, and that's who you spend most your time with. Doesn't mean you don't disciple new converts and all of that, but commit to faithful people. We have a discipleship program that we use here, and many other churches do it that continue. But one of the first questions we'll ask is this. Now, this is a 14-week program, and I'm willing to commit to disciple you one day a week. But let me ask you, are you willing to come one day a week for 14 weeks? Well, I don't know. I guess I could try it. Well, that's not enough. You've got to commit to it. If we commit to it, then we can pour our life into discipling someone. Committing to faithful men. Are you teaching? Are you teaching others what God and others have taught you? So I'm not saying, do you have a Sunday school class? Do you do this? Do that? But are you sharing the truth? So in other words, you hear something on Sunday morning that you haven't heard or that the Spirit of God showed you, and you hear it from a pastor or you hear it from the Word of God. Do you share that with other believers? Do you look for a time where you can share that? On Saturdays, we have men's prayer breakfast, and one of the things we enjoy is going over the Proverbs of whatever day it is, and everyone shares at least one verse that God spoke to them as they read through that Proverbs that morning. You'll be surprised that almost everyone has something to share. We were listening yesterday. I think 14 of our men were on Zoom, and we were listening. Well, we had one lady in there, Candace, who's about, she's not quite a year old, is she? How old is she? 9 months. And she always sits so quietly in her father's arm until it's his turn to talk, and then she starts preaching. Nobody can understand what she's preaching, but she'll go to it. It's just as cute as can be. But we also have two of guys that are in a recovery program, and they watch on Zoom, and they give input. One of the guys yesterday was saying, well, Pastor, I'm a new Christian, and so I'm just learning, and I don't know that I have the right thing to say. And we all the men were saying, we're so thrilled to have you here, and you can't say it wrong. Just speak what God spoke to your heart about the verse, and all of us will be blessed, and we were. But are you teaching? Are you sharing what God taught you? Are you doing that? Maybe to a relative, maybe to your children. But all of us are called to be teachers. He says in verse 11, when for the time ye ought to be, ought to be, that's obligation. You ought to be a teacher. That's God's goal for us. Not the position of teacher, but the duty of teaching other truth, others the truth of God's word. So we see in verse 11, how's your hearing? We look at verse 12 and we ask the question, are you teaching? Now we look at verses 13 and 14, and the question is milk or meat? Milk or meat? What are we getting? Here's what I would suggest. Milk is what someone else is giving you. Meat is what you and God are digging out of His Word together. If you're still being spoon-fed, that's milk. When you learn to study God's Word and read God's Word on your own, that's meat. So it's not so much the depth of the subject. It has to do with how you present the Word of God. Are you getting into it yourself, or is all you get the listening of other people? You might listen to podcasts every day. You might listen to sermons every day. But are you also studying on your own? And that's going to be the meat. Notice what it says in verses 13 and 14. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, he's talking about, are we a babe or are we a mature believer? And that's what we have to ask ourselves. If you're getting into the Word of God and you're reading it on a regular basis and you're finding things and God's speaking to your heart from the Word of God and you're learning from the Word of God, I would suggest that that's meat. So meat and milk have nothing to do with how long you've been saved. Because we know that these Christians have been saved long enough, they should well be teachers, but they're not. It has nothing to do. In fact, he's going to say that because you're taking milk, you have need someone go and teach you the first principles or the oracles of God. That's basic Christianity. Well, if someone has to teach you that again, it's because you're not learning that on your own. All of us have to question ourselves, are we maturing? Are we growing? Are we teaching? Are we getting into the meat of God's Word? Are we studying God's Word? That's a challenge for all of us, myself included. Milk is the basic of our faith. It's what you're given by others, the very basics. Meat is the sign of maturity. It's the product of habit. The Bible says reason of use. You use it over and over and over and over. I've heard people say, I really don't understand what God's Word says. Keep reading and you will. Keep reading and you will. If you start out in the construction job or construction, you take a job in that, you might not know much, but if you stick with it, you're going to learn a lot about construction. You might be a electrician just starting out as an apprentice. You might not know much, but it won't take long. You'll know what not to touch. It won't take long. One false move and you'll remember that for a long time. Don't touch that. You'll learn how to do electricity and how to make it work if you're at it. And same thing for the basic Christian life. If you'll just study God's Word, read God's Word, read God's Word, read God's Word, you'll be surprised how God will teach you and grow you as a believer. Years ago when I was a young preacher, I've realized there were several ways to go about learning. One, I could read everything that someone else wrote about the Bible. Or two, I could read the Bible they wrote about. And as a young pastor, I decided to spend more of my time in reading what any theologian has ever read, and that's the Word of God. And so the more I read the Word of God, the more knowledge God gives me. I've read God's Word maybe 160 times. I know a small fraction of this book. This book you could spend a thousand lifetimes studying and you'd still be learning stuff. It's God's book. It's unfathomable. It's just, you just keep learning and growing and learning and growing. And I learn stuff in God's Word all the time. Things I never thought about. I've often said the Word of God is like a gold mine. The deeper you dig, the more gold you find. Just get in the Word of God and study it. Read it, read it, read it. Study it. And God will keep on teaching you. Meat is the product of a habit, reason of use. Now, I wish I could say every time I read God's Word, it's like the angels are flapping their wings, you know, and everything's just wonderful. No, there's been many, 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 many times I'm reading God's Word because I want to get through it. But here's what I was sharing, and my wife knows this. I've shared it so many times. In our home, we have devotions in the evening meal. We'll read the Proverbs of a day and talk about it, just like we do in the men's meeting. I wake up, and here's what I picture. I picture God's words calling me. It's like it's personified. There's like a voice that's saying, get up and open me and start reading. And there's times I want to say, yeah, but I'd like to sleep 30 more minutes. And it's like the Word of God just speaks to me and says, Mike, I want you to get up and spend time with me. I don't know about you, but that helps me. to picture that. When I go to prayer, it helps me to picture God having a throne of grace, and I'm going before Him. And if you'll have a hunger for this book, you'll be as smart as any Christian ever was, because God is no respecter of person. And if you'll get into the Word of God like they got into the Word of God, you'll learn what they learned and maybe more. God will at very least teach you what He wants you to know as a maturing Christian if you get into His Word. Are you maturing? Do you have good hearing? Or are we dull of hearing? Do we hear what God is trying to say? Secondly, are you teaching? Are you taking what you learn and you're sharing that with others? To me, one of the best ministries in any church is working with children, because they have so many questions, and they seem to have a hunger to know what God's Word says. A hunger for it. And they want to learn. And you don't have to know much. You just have to know a little bit more than they do. And you can be a teacher. Are you teaching? And lastly, is it milk or is it meat? What are you spending your time with? Listening to what someone else says or listening to what God's Word says in your personal time together? I think we can be greatly advantaged by pastors and teachers and Sunday school teachers and all of that. God gifts men and women for that. But that is still coming from other sources. It's still coming from man. You need to get alone with you and the Bible and let God speak to you and mature yourself in the Lord. That'd be a great, great help. Well, we just had a few verses here as we finish Hebrews chapter 5. Next week, we are looking at Hebrews chapter 6. And if you know anything about Hebrews, we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And this is the biggest question between those who believe in salvation being settled or those who have a question mark. Well, I might lose it. Let me just say, next week I'll be explaining that according to the Word of God, you're not going to lose it. And I'll show you the very context of which verses 1 through 6 is found. And I think it'd be a great blessing. Perhaps you're like I was. I was raised up in a denomination that believed you could lose your salvation. And maybe you were raised like that. Most Baptists believe in eternal security, but I was in one of those Baptist churches that did not believe in eternal security. Someone said we believed in apostasy, and many people practiced it. I don't think we should practice it. I don't think we should believe in it. I'll share with you why we are eternally secure next week as we look in Hebrews chapter 6. I think it'd be a very good study for all of us. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer at this time. For those who are watching online, I hope that you've come to that place where you have trusted Christ as your personal Savior. If that has not yet occurred in your life, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He gave Himself that you might have His righteousness. If you're willing to respond in faith to Him and the gospel message. The gospel is Jesus lived. He died for you and for me. He was buried and He rose triumphant from the grave for our salvation, for our justification. And if you're willing to reach out in faith and trust Jesus Christ, you too can be a believer. And you too will have a home in heaven, not because you earn it, not because you deserve it, but because Christ died so you could go to heaven if you'll place your faith in Him. For those viewing on home as well, the question is, are you maturing? And for all of us here in this auditorium, are we growing in our faith? Can you honestly say you are, or would you say, Pastor, I'm afraid I've plateaued a little bit. I'm afraid I'm just not growing like I once did. Would you let the Spirit of God challenge you? Can you start afresh and anew tomorrow morning, opening up God's Word, asking God to speak to your heart? Can we all be maturing Christians? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your Word. We pray that you'd bless these Christians that are here and those who are watching. And Lord, help us all grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be maturing as believers. And Heavenly Father, keep us from being dull of hearing. Help us to listen to what the Spirit of God wants to say in our lives. I pray that you'll bless these people. I pray you'll bless our church. I pray you'll continue to bless as we open up and get back to a normal schedule. Lord, I'm excited about singing next Sunday. And I pray that it'd be a joyful time as we sing your praises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and I trust you have a wonderful week. And we'll see you Wednesday. God bless you.